All right. Well, welcome to the very first news update from Drinks Adventures. It's something I've been thinking of doing for a while, and what better time to do it than with Sydney deep in lockdown, feeling for everyone who's in the same position. Now, we don't have a news theme as yet, unless Dave has something up his sleeve. That could be a little bit too much, I think. I think we'll have to work on that. Now, in today's edition, Australian wine industry failing to take action on diversity, Tasmanian distillers embrace bourbon cask maturation, business booming for ASX-listed craft brewer Good Drinks, Bent Spoke Brewing Company launches sour beer offshoot label, and Japanese sake exports hit by COVID-19 pandemic. It's no coincidence that many of Australia's most exciting boutique wineries have been founded by women. That's according to Samantha Conyu of Tasmania's Stargazer Wines. Conyu last week told this podcast, Drinks Adventures, that women have taken the entrepreneurial path out of necessity, given the lack of career opportunities afforded to them in an industry that remains very male-dominated.
In terms of the pennies starting to drop, it was really discovering that women only made up 10% of winemakers and less, like 9% of viticulturists in the Australian wine industry. And just despite being half of the graduates coming through at Adelaide, you know, Uni of Adelaide and CSU, and just being completely horrified at those statistics. Unfortunately, I can't even tell you if that's changed because we don't have the statistics of what the current makeup is of men and women in our industry, which I think is horrifying that our industry doesn't even care that much to be able to survey its constituents. I was involved with the Australian Women in Wine Awards for a number of years in terms of raising the profile of women in the industry, and I think that's done an incredible job. But there's still a lot of heavy lifting that needs to be done. And it's not just about women in the industry, it's about diversity in the industry.
The Whisky Show conducted its second virtual event for Australian whisky on Saturday, July 31. 200 people purchased sample packs containing new and upcoming Australian whiskies, a selection of which were presented for discussion by their distillers in a live stream that was attended by 2,200 people online. A session dedicated to Tasmanian whiskies was noteworthy for the prevalence of bourbon cask matured products, which Spring Bay distillery owner Cam Brett says is a pleasing development.
I'd love to see Tasmania become known for bringing bourbon cask back as actually a premium whisky. Tasmanian distillers make really good new make spirit. And I think the bourbon cask actually puts that on show. And I think often we've hidden a lot of our really good spirits behind some heavily fortified whiskies because we've been trained that the premium whiskies go into fortified barrels. You know, they're the most expensive barrels. And, of course, Scotland have taught us that their premium whiskies are either come out of a PX or an Oloroso sherry cask, even as a finisher. So what it does is we're actually letting our spirit shine a bit more out of Tasmania. And I think that's the one thing that we do really well.
You can watch the full live stream online from the virtual Aussie Whisky Show at thewhiskylist.com.au, where you can also purchase the featured whiskies, including some exclusive bottlings. ASX-listed Good Drinks Australia, that's the company behind craft beer brands such as Gage Roads, Atomic and Matzo's, has recorded full-year earnings of $10.7 million. That's an increase of 1,683% on last year. Managing Director John Hodemaker says Good Drinks is now the number one independent supplier and the number three supplier overall to the craft beer market.
It's simply been an outstanding year. And for the first time ever, we've sold 1 million cases of Good Drinks products during a 12-month period. That's a fantastic milestone. Our big drivers, Single Fin and Matzo's Ginger Beer, are well positioned in the second and third largest segments of the craft beer market, and they continue to grow strongly at over 40%. Pipe Dreams, launched at Optus Stadium, is helping to create the fast-growing segment, being craft lager, the fastest-growing segment at 73%. And it's great to see craft drinkers getting back into lager again.
Canberra's Bent Spoke Brewing Company has launched a new beer series called Budding Cells, dedicated to barrel aging and mixed culture fermentation. Bent Spoke co-founder Richard Watkins says he has been experimenting with these beer styles ever since returning inspired from trips to the US and Belgium in the 2000s.
Generally speaking, all the breweries in Australia were generally used to making beer and drinking it pretty fresh. And it was just going against this grain, really, that you made a beer and you wouldn't touch it for a year. And that was something that I found really different, that you would leave the beer for such a long period of time and that these flavours needed that time to develop. It taught me a lot about patience.
Budding Cells takes its name from the unique fermentation process that occurs in the barrels when the wild yeast and bacteria are left to work their magic. The first beer in the series is the second vintage of Phlegm, a Flanders red ale that you can buy direct from Bent Spoke online.
Last year we released the first batch of Phlegm, but I think it was just lacking a bit of complexity and a bit of that aged character. This year is now an extra year older, and it's amazing the change, just because we've added 10% more 2-year-old to it.
And a quick disclosure, I was contracted by Bent Spoke to help write some of the marketing copy for Budding Cells. Japanese sake exports declined by 17% in volume terms in 2020 as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. A 25% drop in exports to North America, which was the biggest export market for Japanese sake in 2019, was partially offset by strong growth in Asia-Pacific markets, including China and Hong Kong. Exports to Australia proved resilient in spite of our lockdowns, growing by 11.8% last year. In a recent market update webinar, Hiromi Yuchi from the Japan Sake and Shochu Makers Association said the pandemic highlighted the need for exporters to open up new channels for their products.
People drink sake only in Japanese restaurant, and we need to go outside of Japanese restaurant and then go into the wine market, non-Japanese restaurant. The pandemic gave us the lesson, since the sake is mostly sold at the restaurant venue, if the restaurants are closed, we don't have a means to bring sake to the customers. As for wine, they already have an online distribution, so I guess the damage was less.
Yuchi said another impediment to export growth is inadequate storage and handling of Japanese sake.
We need to raise the awareness more that sake needs to be stored in a dark and cold setting. Sake is much more fragile than a wine. I personally believe that this could be the crucial point for sake growth in the future, especially in a new market.
That's all for this edition. As this is a new segment, I'd love to hear your feedback. You can email me, as always, at hello@drinksadventures.com.au. And don't forget to follow the Drinks Adventures account on Instagram. The handle is drinksadventures_au. And you can also follow me at @byjamesatkinson, all one word.